To Romans chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We are in our series on being filled with the Spirit, and last week I talked about being singing in the Spirit in Ephesians 5, 19, in the Spirit, but never in the flesh. And we talked a lot about the flesh last week. And I want you just to review that just a little bit and then go into in the Spirit. And it's very important that we catch that and we know that God's stuff is going good. We have a paper here, the Church Music Debate. I've written this paper, and I think it's very balanced. I want every home to read it. We gave it out last Sunday. If you need a copy, they're on the communion table back there. I want every family to have one. So if you do not have one, please get this and read it in its entirety. Talk it to your children, your grandchildren, your teenagers. Is that right? It's very important. And I've tried to write it very balanced. And I've worked on this for a long time, so I trust that you enjoy it much. I will be referring to it a little bit today, but I trust that you have read it and are reading it a couple times, because we have a problem today. It's called music. Number one, we have too much of it. Is that true? Just everything just bombards us. And we need to know that we need to make some wise choices. And I want you just to realize here in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 here, and then in chapter 12, verse 2a, chapter 2, 12, verse a, it says, "Be not conformed to this world." And it's very important that we understand that There is music out there that will destroy your mind. Is that true? Destroy your family. And I want to say it again. All this rock music, all this secular, godless music out there, you need to say what to it? No. No. We're not playing that. Well, I like it. Everybody else likes it. I want you to know there is music out there that will destroy your character, destroy your whole person. And we need not to be listening to it. Your flesh loves it, but it destroys you. And I want to state that very strongly, that we need to realize that this is wrong music. The words of this music are terrible. Is that right? Terrible. We're not going to do this. We're not going to have this in our home. And I like the music. I don't care if you like the music. It's terrible. Parents, we need to make this stand, huh? We need to make this stand. I said that last week. I don't want to go into it again, but it is very important. In Exodus chapter 32, there was Moses and Joshua came off the mountain, and there was noise in the camp. And he says, there's noise of war. And he says, wow, he says, it's singing. Just think if they described the singing as a noise of war. Can you determine that we have some music today in the secular and rock world that sounds like war? Okay, if it sounds like war, it's not for us. And he says, it sounds like war in the camp. And he says, it's a mess. And Jeremiah 10 verse 2, we camped on that. Learn not the way of the heathen. And that's so, so important that we grasp that and realize that, boy, God, help us there that we not do that and learn the way of the heathen. I gave you some... a chart last week. You had a chart last week. Let's put up the chart there. We had a chart last week. We started here that godless music, secular music's rated from 0 to 3. It's wicked. It's weird. It's worldly. It's wild. It's a mess. And we need not to have it. Amen? We need not to have it. We need not to learn the ways of the heathens. Some of our questionable contemporary concert music can get them in this wicked and wild and weird day. And we need to be careful with that and say, God, help us. It's questionable. You need to know that and have that in your heart. But we need to say, no, 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 no real value. And it says, learn not the way of the heathen. Put the next chart up. Then we're in the line here of questionable music. Where do we draw the line? Every family has to draw that line. Is that true? Every family has to draw your line with secular music and so-called Christian music. You still got to draw a line. I just drew the line. Bible says in Romans 10, it says, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. My line for my kids, when they want to have a new song in the house, I'd listen to the words, number one, and or just read them. But number two was, can I hear the words? If they're Christian, can I hear the words clearly the first time through? Is the message dominant or is the music dominant? And I wanted the message to be clear, because faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And if it's not clear, it sounds just like everything else. But we have some music that's going to be different. I'm going to make some statements on different. Is different always bad? I want all the old people to say that. Is different always bad? And most time it is. You know, that's what we think. Entertainment. Is there a place for entertainment? Yes, yes, yes. Should it dominate our music choices? No. Christians should dominate your music choices. That is so important. If we're not careful, that takes us very quickly. And I don't like any songs that make fun of Jesus on the cross. Was Jesus on the cross a laughing matter? I don't like songs that are ha 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 ha, or anything that's going on and we're talking about Jesus. I think there should be a more reverence there of the line here of godly. Let's don't get down close to this line. Let's keep up to here. It says, make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Excellent there. Families, you have to work on that and realize that even in the midst of secular music, no. Okay, this is to be, we can listen to this, but let's not let it dominate it. Let's not let us think, well, boy, if Christian music sounded like this, I'd listen to it all the time. And then in the contemporary Christian music, be careful with everything. Check out the singers. There are singers out there that aren't living what they're singing. And you need to check that out. You need to check out what the words are saying. Are they really have some depth words? We have some new songs being written today that have some depth. Y'all know that? We will sing any new song that we possibly can. If a teenager comes to us or young adult says, what about this song? We will look at them very strongly. We're interested in that. I'm going to make a comment about that a little bit later also. But it is very important that we understand that we need to set a pace here and say, this is good music and this is questionable music, and we're not going to have the questionable. There's so many other good choices. Is that right? There's so many other good choices, and that makes a big, big difference in it all. Let me read in your paper here. Let me read a question here in Romans, in the Romans chapter 12 here, that it is very important that we have the test here that in our paper it says, the Romans 12 test. It says, is that your church music and lyrics must noticeably have no trace of carnality. Let's not settle for mediocrity by feeding on spiritual baby food when we have spiritual meat and potatoes. Ask yourself during every song, is my flesh or my spirit being fed? Is my worship music just an earthly emotional high, or is it from a celebrating heart that is feasting on God's truth? Very important that we have that. Our flesh. Be careful with your flesh. My flesh fails me all the time. My flesh loves to do wrong. My flesh would love me to call something that is, I think, that is not spiritual, spiritual. My flesh would love to say something that is spiritual, that it's just boring. My flesh would want to go there. And talk, parents, grandparents, talk to your teens. Teens, listen. They have some information that is needed on that very, very much. Romans 12, 2b. Look at this one. But be ye transformed. Amen. That is so important there, that we be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may experience God. This is in your paper also. I'm going to quote from it. This is in the Romans 6 test. It says, is that your Christian music and lyrics must noticeably raise your level of holiness, not entertainment, fun, or just short-lived emotional music high. Does your music produce more Bible reading, more praying, more victory over sin, more witnessing, more selflessness, more teens obeying their parents, more spiritual sacrifice and service? Does holiness need to be the primary issue? Holiness. And that is so important. I just quoted from my paper there that it is so important that we grasp that and realize, God, we got to make music count. At this time, we're going to have a reading here of Scripture. And everybody turn to 2 Chronicles 29. We're going to be here. It's a great text. It's the greatest text I've found for music in the Old Testament. 2 Chronicles 29, verse 20.
Then King Hezekiah rose early, gathered the rulers of the city, and went to the house of the Lord. And they brought seven bulls, seven rams, seven lambs, and seven male goats for a sin offering for the kingdom, for the sanctuary, and for Judea. Then he commanded the priests, the sons of Aaron, to offer them on the idol of the altar of the Lord. So they killed the seven bulls and One priest received the blood and sprinkled it on the altar. Likewise, they killed the rams and sprinkled the blood on the altar. They also killed the lambs and sprinkled the blood on the altar. Then they brought out the male goats for the sin offering before the king and the assembly, and they laid their hands on them. And the priests killed them, and they presented their blood on the altar as a sin offering to make an atonement for all Israel. For the king commanded that the burnt offering and the sin offering be made for all Israel. And he stationed the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and stringed instruments, with harps, according to the commandment of David, of God the king's, of Gad the king's seer, and Nathan the prophet, for thus was commanded of the Lord by his prophets. The Levites stood with the instruments of David, and the priests with the trumpets. Then Hezekiah commanded them to offer the burnt offerings on the altar. And when the burnt offerings began, the song of the Lord also began, with the trumpets and the instruments of David, the king of Israel. So all the assembly worshiped, the singers sang, and the trumpeters sounded. All this continued until the burnt offering was finished. And when they had finished offering, the king and all who were present with him bowed there and worshiped. Moreover, the king Hezekiah, the leaders, commanded the Levites to sing praise to the Lord with words of David and asked the seer. So they sang praises with gladness, and they bowed their heads and worshiped. Then Hezekiah answered and said, "Now that you have consecrated yourselves to the Lord, come near and bring sacrifices and thank offerings into the house of the Lord." So the assembly brought in sacrifices and thank offerings, and as many as were of a willing heart brought burnt offerings.
Powerful text, huh? Powerful text. Think. As it says here, worship isn't an event to attend or watch. Our day has turned worship into that. You sitting here and somebody up here banging all over the place and entertaining, and you feel good, okay? Worship is not an event to attend or to watch. It is a lifestyle to be lived. Huh? That's worship. That's a great statement. I wanted you to catch all of the blood being shed, huh? All of the sin offerings, all of the dealing with God and sin and our weakness of our flesh, and we needing forgiveness and atonement, and the priest doing it. I want you to know a singer in a concert, a Christian band or whatever, needs to be priestly. Levites need to be godly people. Is that right? Godly people leading the worship, and very important today. And then the issue of, it was serious, they consecrated themselves. They were singing and playing the whole time that the sacrifices were being burned and bloodshed and everything. It was a heavy time. It wasn't just a shallow time. It was just a feel-good time. There was seriousness. They were thinking about what was happening, and it just wasn't a fun time. It wasn't an entertaining time. It was worship. We've lowered that word today, and we need to keep it high in our souls. And yes, we need to let it move us and be more emotional about it. I think there was a day when we showed no emotion. Now we show too much emotion. We need to have a balance there. And that's very, very important. But here they sang, and here they worshiped God, and it was all Godward. And yes, they played string instruments, and they played harps, and they sang. and for a long time, and he realized, this is of God. I trust that our worship music be from God, to God, about God. And it's not about how I feel or if I like it or whatever. It's down, and they bowed themselves. I seen a statement of the evolution of worship, and it starts down on our knees before God. Do you know that's how we're going to worship in heaven? We're going to be flat on our face before God. It's not going to be about us at all. How we feel. We're in the presence of the Almighty. And all that does is knock you to the ground. You are total unworthy. And the evolution of music in us where it's here, then 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 it's all about. Then the guy looks like Elvis Presley at the end with the guitar, okay? And we've moved from worship, where worship should be Godward, and it should be holy, and it should have some seriousness, it should have emotion. But I want you to catch all the blood, all the sacrifice, all the sin offering, and then the music being played to God, the songs of David and the musicians were priests and Levites, godly people, and to realize that this needs to be our standard of music, our standard of worship, and to bring us close to God. And it just should be a wonderful thing to realize God's here. God's here. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21. It was on our verses going through. It just praise the beauty of holiness. It should make God so high, so mighty, so holy, so awesome, and it's all about Him, and it should be so not us, but all Him, and it's not entertaining, it's not how we feel, it's all for God, and it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Music is so important that we allow that to be a part of our lives so that we're there. And the beauty of holiness, Jesus' presence personally standing right next to us, serious, leading us to Christ's likeness. That's what music should do. It should be expression of joy. Note they had all the sacrifices first, then they had the singing, and they were consecrating themselves. It was a giving. You know, it was closer, always in the spirit, never in the flesh. And I think in all of our music today, our Christian music, our church music, is this feeding my flesh or is this feeding my spirit? Big question. I don't think that's asked enough today. Am I just enjoying the music and the words don't get too far and I'm just enjoying, they just move me? That's flesh. It should be spirit. The words, the message, the truth should be paramount more than the music. There might be some music you don't like. There might be some music's not your preference. Is that true? And that is so important that we realize there's a crisis. There's an overdose of music today. There is money being made, and they don't care about what you... We've redefined worship. We just put so much emotion and feeling into it, and it's become very shallow and not too deep. It's very important. Is this feeding my spirit? Is this feeding my flesh? Answer that question. The next one is balance. I want to go here. Balance. I spent a lot of time in my paper on balance of the old and the new. I'm in the old, okay? And balance is so important that we realize that there should be balance for both old and new. Let me just read this. We have four generations in our church. I'm in the last generation. There are three generations before me. Okay? We are one church. We are not just two churches. A lot of churches are going to a contemporary service and a traditional service. Divide your church up. I don't like that. I'm not going to say it's wrong, but I just don't think it's best. Because are we one? We're one. And if we're going to be one, the Bible says that the older is to teach the younger. Is that right? And to do that, we got to be around one another. That's why I push all of our adults to talk to teenagers, and I push all of our teenagers to talk to adults. The older must be around the younger to be teaching, and the older must be friendly and listening to the younger to be around and be accepted. Both need to be moving, is that right? Both need to be getting out of their comfort zones. Do we like getting out of our comfort zones? No! And we must realize that music has to be. We have four generations, and we have new music coming in. We have old music, and we got to be careful that we just don't stick with old music. You know, where do we draw the line? Like Amish, we draw the line at 1892. You know, where do we draw the line? Do you know when the hymns came out, they had no choruses, and then in the 1800s and 1700s, they started putting choruses on them, okay? Every song you see with a chorus is a later one of the 18th, 19th century. When they started doing that, there was a war. You're putting a chorus onto a hymn. And the guy goes, yeah. And it took a while. Music is tough, especially when music can be written. We have computers today that write music just like that. Used to be, you had to take your pen and pencil and go, ding, ding, ding. And rake your circle. You ever do that, Lynn? Ding, 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 and rake your circle. No, ding, 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 rake your circle. You know, that's the way you used to write music. Today we have computer programs. Writes it. Boom. And thus we have multiple choices. Remember the day we only had cornflakes? And now we have 25 different styles of cornflakes. Isn't it terrible to go through the cereal aisle? It's just terrible. I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. I want this one. Oh, get out of life. We're going to all have Malta meal, you know. You know, now we have so many choices, and youth see this, and we have heroes, we have rock stars, Christian rock stars. Y'all know that? We have stars. I want you to know there are no rock stars. We're having preachers becoming rock stars today. Preachers. When the preacher walks out, they go, yay! We have churches that have 90,000 in attendance every Sunday. 90,000. And you're sitting there going, you know. We should be people that our music is Godward. Our music has holiness. Our music doesn't have any hint or tint of worldliness. There should be a distinct difference. When we go down the radio dial, there should be a distinct sound of Christian versus non-Christian. There should be a distinct style. Now, I'm not against modern music. I'm not against it. But there should be a distinct style, and there should be no one. And the Levites and the priests, there should be holiness. Holiness. And so many times, they've allowed the world style just to overtake them. Is that right? They look like the world, sound like the world, everything. And I'm sitting there going, no, no. Music needs to be. Let me state this. Old, new. It's from my paper. It says, the old generation needs to sincerely respect and honor the maturing godliness of the younger generation, so that our younger generation will likewise respect and honor the godly wisdom and guidance of their elders. Worshiping together with both old and new, psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, will keep the older saints from getting into a lifeless musical rut. Can we get into a lifeless musical rut? We can. Okay. And keep the younger saints from falling into the pit of empty, emotional, entertaining Christian music. Is that right? Both sides can go wrong. We need the spiritual edifying music of both age levels to be balanced, because God's plan, as stated in Titus 2 verses 1 to 8, is to have all generations in one church, and not giving in to providing the traditional service for the old believers and the contemporary service for the young believers. We need both. Teenagers, we need you. Young adults, we need you. Old fogies, we need you. We need you with white hair. We need you with no hair. Let me tell you, the older need the younger, and the younger need the older. And music is dividing us today. Is that true? Dividing us. And Patrick and I and Pastor Kyle, we work at this all the time. We want it to be something that's together. And we have so many choices today, so many. Money is being produced and made, and they don't care. They don't want the songs to last. They just want them to last 6 months, and they're out. New ones coming in. New ones coming in. They don't care if they're good. I love the ones that stick. We sang 10,000 Reasons. That's a brand new song. It's in the top 40 of 2017 Christian songs. Great song. Great song. And we need to understand that's not bad. But we need to understand they're all. Young people, when we sing a hymn, I want you to dive into it, because we've spent time making certain that that hymn needs to be in your repertoire. And then when we bring in a new song, we want you older folks to realize, we believe this song needs to be in your repertoire. And we don't allow a song to come in that's going to be fluff. It's just going to be emotional. And the newer songs are more emotional. It's all right. And the older songs, that's why we need both. I get excited when the old are being put to new. My favorite song, I'm going to sing it next week. They asked me what my favorite song was. My favorite song is Glorious Day. I love it. It's got the old and the new put together. And I shout. I could dance up here if you let me. And it would be good. I'm supposed to do that in my closet. Is that what the Bible says? I'm supposed to do that in my closet. Okay? And because we have too much public today, and there should be holiness. But I trust that you realize that this is good stuff, to realize that this is neat. Colossians chapter 3, and I close. Colossians chapter 3, it just says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you, what? Richly, emotionally, powerfully, word for word, in all wisdom, okay? It tells you how to live. It's the source of life, and it's teaching and admonishing. It helps you. You need to tell you what's wrong, and it helps you to keep from going wrong, warning and cautioning of wrong. That's admonishing. One another. We're to be doing it to one another. It's what singing is for. It's for each other and for God. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Psalms were the Old Testament anthems of God, mainly the book of Psalms. And the hymns were New Testament praises of Jesus and His work and His character. And spiritual songs were songs of changed lives testimonies. Okay? And note, it doesn't say hymns only. And it's very important that we have psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing! Should you sing? With grace! Thank you, Jesus! And just be overwhelmed. My! I trust you sing at home. I trust you sing going down the road. I trust you sing in the shower. I trust you sing mowing the grass. Huh? It should be going to work, going to school. Music was meant to truth. Set you what? Free! And you realize, wow, that just blesses my soul. And we should have that. We have so much in our cars today with all the speakers and everything. 10 speakers. And you can put it in and the song can just dominate you. You can do it with devil songs, or you can do it with Jesus songs. And we have it in our day, in our houses. Choose good songs, huh? Parents, lead in this issue. Find some songs that y'all can all agree with. Make them godly. Teenagers, just don't like them because you like the music. That's where the devil starts. Is that right? He starts with all of that. The words should be first. And the music should be second. And it is so important that we need to realize that holiness, just not feel good, but holiness just should be produced. Let the words of Christ dwell in you and me richly. Teaching in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Amen.